I believe it's, we can just finish some of this in this session. We were talking about it in the last session. So we basically are talking about vision, God's plan for our lives and how to steward it. There's many things we could take the time for. We could talk about how to get the right vision. We could talk about how to steward it. We could talk about making sure you're not doing your own plan. Why it's important that we get God's plan and so forth. But I will say this, that there are different sources of vision. One of them is just your own imagination. You know, your mind can concoct a plan. And you can start seeing yourself do something. And you can get busy with it and start having ideas. And it grows and grows and gets bigger and bigger. But it might not have ever originated with God. You know, so your own imagination is one source of vision. Another one, I'll be honest with you, another source of vision is just the devil. I remember Brother Hagin talking about his early years whenever he was still on the bed of sickness. He made this statement. He said he kept having visions of him, not necessarily spiritual visions where he was seen in the spirit realm, but just pictures on the inside, if you want to put it that way, of him dying, them having his funeral, them burying him, the leaves coming and fall time coming in his grave, what it looked like in fall time, what it looked like in the snow, what it looked like in spring when the daisies were coming up. The devil was giving him that. You know, the devil will try to give you a picture of what your life is going to be. And it's always failure and misery and, you know. But see, we've got to make sure that what we're seeing is God and not just be open. If these things are not a big deal, why does the devil work so hard to put his wrong picture on the inside of us? That's because it is a big deal. The devil knows it. But we do too, and so we guard it, and we make sure it's the right one. I'd say this, there's nothing worse, because people talk about climbing the ladder of success. There's nothing worse than climbing the ladder of success in life, only to find out the ladder was leaned against the wrong building. You know what I mean? You reach the top, you reach what your goal was, and you realize, whoops, that wasn't God's plan. What a waste of a life. If you don't have God's plan, you don't know where you're going. If you don't have a God-given vision, you don't know where you're going. I heard a story one time of this was back in the early 1900s, a U.S. Supreme Court justice, his name was Oliver Wendell Holmes, years ago, back in the early 1900s, He was elderly. He was the Supreme Court. He was on the Supreme Court back then, but he was very elderly, and he was taking a train ride, and the conductor came through asking for tickets, and he was looking for his ticket. He couldn't find his ticket, and of course they knew who he was, but he was saying, "I'm so sorry, I can't find my ticket. I can't find my ticket." And finally, he was just so flustered he couldn't find it. He's an elderly man. Finally, they said, "Well, we know you, Mr. Holmes." They said, "We trust you. When you get home, just I'm sure you'll find it, you know, in your luggage or something. When you get home, just mail it to us." I mean, it was a different day back then, mail everything, but just mail it to us. And he said, "My dear friend," he said, "it's not about whether I have a ticket or not. It's about where am I going." My problem's not where's my ticket, it's where am I going? He had forgotten where he was destined to get off the train. Amen. Well, if you don't have a God-given vision, you don't know where you're going. And when you get there, you wouldn't know it when you got there. Amen. It defines and gives us direction, doesn't it? That's what vision does. Without a vision, you don't know where you're going. So you'll never really arrive at God's destination if you don't make some choices by faith to get there. Amen. So really what a vision does is it creates a mission from heaven. A vision becomes a commission. When God speaks to you, it becomes something you're commissioned to do. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. I mean, if you want to obey God, it's not an option. It's a commission. And it becomes something that's not just, you know, I'll do that if I want. It becomes something that is imperative that we fulfill. It's not just an option. Hallelujah. What we've got to do is not only receive what God's plan for our life is, but manifest it in this physical world. And that takes faith to put feet on that thing. And what that does is it requires us to do something that God's dealing with us to do right now in order to get to the next step of that being fulfilled. I've never, it's always stood out to me in Philippians, 3 there. I don't have the exact verse, but you'll remember where it talks about, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget those things which are behind, remember? And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Notice that language. I press towards the what? The mark for the prize of what? The high calling. That high calling is the ultimate of God's plan for us down here. There is something that we're all taking steps towards. I don't believe God's plan is that you or I peak into the ultimate He has for us in our 30s, 40s, 50s. I believe we are to be complete, moving further and further to what He really had in mind for us until the end years of our life were there. You know what I mean? Pastor Nancy was talking to me one time because I was sharing some things with her that God had said to me years ago back in my 30s. Early 30s, I'd have to think about it to be sure. I know it was in my 30s, but I think it was early 30s. How that I was pressing into some things that in ministry that I had seen in my spirit that God's plan for me was, and all hell broke loose. I mean, I'm not just talking about in one area, every area of my life. And I stood and stood, and finally I went to prayer about it, and the Lord said, pull back out of this dimension of the ministry you're pressing into. He said, you're seeing something that's to come, but you're not ready for it yet spiritually. You're pushing in spiritual things to get into them before really you're ready to handle them. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm pulling back. I mean, whenever He gave me the direction to pull back, boy, I did it in a hurry, because when all hell breaks loose in your life, you're ready to get back out of hell, you know? But I'm not talking about pulling out of things that He's saying, stay steady, don't pull back. But in this case, He told me, pull back. And she said, and the anointing got on Pastor. We were driving her back to her hotel after one of the meetings at our church. And the anointing got on her, and she's, you know how she gets something in her heart? She just preaches it to you. Well, she started preaching this to me because she said, I did the same thing. You ever heard her tell a story about how she did something, got ahead of some things she wasn't ready for? And God said to her, you're not ready, pull back. Well, I had not heard her story, but she was speaking into direction in my life because I didn't fully understand why the Lord had said pull back. Anyway, thing was that you can press, you can see things in the Spirit. Everything in the Spirit seems like right now. I don't know if you ever, everything in the Spirit, there's no time in the realm of the Spirit. Time is part of this natural creation. So when you're in the Spirit, everything seems like right now. You see something, and it seems like it's right now. And you can, if you're not careful, get condemned that this isn't coming to pass right now. I saw this in prayer. I know God spoke to me. It was confirmed through so-and-so. You know, I know it's God. What's wrong with me? It's not coming to pass. Well, in the Spirit, some things have a timeline on them. Not that there's time in the spirit realm, but it takes us time to fulfill those things because God has to prepare us for them. Amen? And so I was sharing that with her and talking to her, and she really helped me about this because I needed to prepare before I got into that. And she made this statement to me. She said the study, you might have heard her say it, because she said it in services a few times. She mentioned, she said, I've done studies on great men and women of God in history, and everyone that peaked in their 40s or 50s, they died prematurely. You ever heard her say that? How many of you heard her say that? And she started talking to me about that. She said, Pastor Jay, God pulled you out of that so that you could have longevity. I'm like, thank you, Pastor. I mean, I started weeping. I got some revelation. I don't even know why I said all that. I don't even know where I am. I'm just being led of the Spirit here. But you need to realize it takes faith and patience to run a race. Remember the Bible said, through faith and patience we inherit the promises? It takes faith and patience. Run with patience the race that's set before us. Patience in the Bible doesn't mean sit by and wait. That's kind of the way it means today. When we say be patient, that means sit by and wait. In the Bible, it doesn't mean that. It means perseverance. It means stay with it in faith. Don't give it up because time has passed. You got to hold fast to the confession of your faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So really what the Lord's been saying to us, and I was talking about last week. I know you know nothing about what I'm talking about, but that's fine because it's my business, not yours. But what the Lord was talking to us about last week is it's time to get back into some of these things. Whoa. Sookie, sookie, looky, looky. I'm telling you what. Hallelujah. You're not going to dance, but I will. Hey, glory. I'm so glad that I was faithful and persevering and not giving up. Praise the Lord. So a divinely given, see what I saw in the Spirit about His plan for our life that I was pushing into in younger years, I saw that in my 20s. Here I am, you know, now in my late 20s. No, I'm kidding. I'm in my early 50s. Here I am in my early 50s. And all that time passed. And if I had gotten in my mind, I'd have said, something's wrong. I must have missed God. But I didn't miss God. I stayed with it and I held fast. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And that vision was a mission, something we've got to do. My wife and I have got to do in our life down here. And we're going to do it. If it hair lips the devil, we're going to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So when God speaks, that's a blueprint for our life. I mean, there's things that God has had us do to prepare for it. And that's just a foundation. It's not really the ultimate, the high calling. Remember the high calling? Philippians 3. Now, the high calling is the ultimate God has for you. But notice, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Notice there is an intermediate or an intermediary mark before the prize of the high calling. Let me illustrate it this way. Anybody ever gone bowling? Doesn't happen as much as used to, but we used to go bowling all the time. But you remember, if you've ever been bowling, you know, let's say this line right here is, well, let's say this aisle right here is sort of like the bowling out, the lane, what do you call that? Is that called the lane? Let's say that's the lane. You got the pins down there. And if you look on the lane, what is it? Two different times, I think, maybe right about here and then on down there, there's a series of marks across the lane. And if you become a good bowler and you know, not just an amateur out there having fun, you start realizing, okay, the goal is to hit all the pins down there, but if I roll the ball right across that mark right there and it hits that mark right down there, I'm going to get a strike. That's what these marks are there for. And so when Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, he's talking about there are intermediate faith projects that God said, put your faith on this. And if you'll put your faith on that, you'll be going the right direction. And you'll get down there. And then when you get to here, and then they'll say, put your faith on that. And then as you put your faith on that, before you know it, by the end of your life, you're going to hit a strike. Hit the plan. Hallelujah. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's an intermediate mark. What's God saying for you to do right now? Just put all your faith on that. Well, what about that down there? This is getting you there. Putting your faith on this is getting you there. Finish this right here. Hit the mark right here. And it'll all come to pass. And whenever you get to that point, then God will say, okay, now there's another mark. Somebody say, well, I'm sitting in Bible school and he's not saying to me what's next. Fine, you're just focusing on your faith on this mark right now. Just focusing on that mark. Glory. That's helping some of us. See, we don't have to accomplish this thing in a day. I remember years ago in high school, my high school days, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was a sprinter. I was a burst of energy out of the blocks. In football, I was the running back. And my favorite pattern was just run around everybody because I could do it. I was fast. I was a burst of energy. I was fast. Well, I guess I could say I was because I'm not quite as fast today. But I was in track. I was the 100 meter guy. I was a burst of energy. I just couldn't last very long, and I wasn't that interested in the 400 or anything else. I was interested in just the 100 because the 200 I started losing. People were beating me. I wanted to stay where I was winning. So I stayed in the 100. And that was my natural ability, but I sort of took that over into my spiritual life. When I got back in fellowship with God in high school and submitted myself to God's plan, I took that tendency to just be doing everything in a hurry. I took that into my spiritual life. I mean, I'm in a hurry about everything. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, talking about his plan for my life, he said, my plan for your life is not a sprint. He said, it's a marathon. I'm like, oh. Because he knew I was going to knock myself out. And that's what I was doing in my 20s, pushing into some things in the spirit that I wasn't ready for spiritually, and the devil was beating me up. You know, you can get ahead. Pastor Nancy makes a statement, I don't remember if I can quote it exactly, something, you can't go quicker than grace can take you. You know, you have to have the grace to be standing in some of these things. And of course, you've got to use your faith, but don't use your faith beyond your grace. You have to develop spiritually so that things don't happen that happen to ministers sometimes where they get knocked out young because they had a great anointing but no character or no faith. They didn't know how to believe God on their own, so the devil took advantage of that. No, you don't have to accomplish it all in a day. Just keep growing spiritually. Keep obeying each step and you'll get there. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean be lazy and slow, but it just means you don't have to accomplish it all in a day. Isn't that good news? But there is a plan. God's plan for your life is a good plan, and you can press toward the mark that's right before you today. I like that, don't you? You know, I tell my congregation sometimes, I say, how do you eat an elephant? You've heard it too. It's one bite at a time. And that's how you fulfill God's plan. You know, we're in a campaign to pay off our church building right now. We're down to only like 145 or 50,000 or something like that. We're almost paid off. And I told him, because when we started, I mean, we had a balance of 800 some. And when we started, I said, that's how we eat an elephant. Just keep on using our faith. Keep on knocking portions of the mortgage out. Put another $10,000 on it this month or something else this month, you know. Hallelujah. You have to be okay with that. If you can't take it all at one time, be okay with taking it by steps. Brother Hagin one time said, if I can't believe God for $1,000,000, I'll believe God for $100,000 10 times, you know. Well, I want it all now. Well, what's your alternative? According to our faith, it'll be unto us. So God will give us these intermediate steps to get there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I press towards the mark. The goals are simply steps. Intermediate goals, you might say, are simply steps. That's what Romans 4:12 says. We take these steps of faith. You know, if you want to climb a ladder, a step ladder, maybe they say, we need some light bulbs changed or something. They bring a step ladder in here, one of those big step ladders. If you want to climb that ladder, you've got to take the steps up. You don't back up and look at that top step and say, okay, I'm going to get up there and run and jump and hit the top step. You're going to hurt yourself. The same thing's true spiritually. You might have some insight into God's ultimate plan for your life. But if you try to get there on one big step, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to damage your faith. You could get knocked out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So be willing to take the steps. It's okay to take steps. What are steps? They're just smaller faith projects that gets you to the ultimate goal. You can't let condemnation. The devil will tell you, well, if you really had faith, you'd be further along than this. You know, it's not the devil's business what my measure of faith is. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't set dates on things. Don't say, well, I got to be here by a certain time. Well, if the Lord starts putting things like that on you, which I'm not too sure he would, but if he does, then follow that. But don't be putting these arbitrary things and dates and times on yourself. I have to be here by a certain time. All you have to do is take the steps he's telling you to take and be faithful to take those steps. Hallelujah. And don't launch out into the next step until he tells you to take the next step. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith has legs and feet. So how do you get to finish a long journey? You got to start taking steps. Break it down into smaller faith projects, a series of smaller faith projects. And so you might not have the faith to take the whole thing all at once, but if you'll day by day walk things out, walk step by step, don't miss a day. I mean, every day you're taking all the steps he tells you, being obedient, moment by moment, hour by hour, decision by decision. As you make these things, you'll get there. You'll progress. It might take some time. Might not because it takes God time, but just takes us. We're living in the realm of time, and we've got to grow into it. Amen? Hallelujah. If your vision is birthed by God, honestly, you know, truly it was God that spoke to you, then he himself will delight in your steps. In other words, he's not condemning you for not being there yet. Amen. He's just simply saying, you pleased me, you took that step. You know, whenever a child is born and they get to the age, they take their first step, and they, because they never have walked before, you know, and they get up on their legs and they're like this, you know, and you're like, go ahead, take the step. And they plop down and don't get the step taken. They're like, oh, you were almost there. You can do it. Come on. The next time they get up and they're wobbling, you know, and then they do that. I mean, you send pictures over the internet and your Facebook and you send videos to everybody, you know, isn't that right? What didn't you do? You didn't spank them because you said you didn't get all the way over there to Grandpa. You don't spank them. You're just thrilled. God's the same way. Amen. If you're not all the way to the ultimate of the high calling yet, God's just pleased that you're taking those steps. You know, and you should delight in every one of the steps. I know people that live in misery because they're not to the high calling yet. That is not God. God wants you to enjoy every phase of your life. I mean, it's a bad testimony and a bad witness to be all depressed because you're not in the ultimate that really you know God has for you yet. You shouldn't be living in the future. You live in the now. Just live in what God told you to do right now. And really, it's not your job to get there as much as it is your job just to keep responding. Just keep obeying what he tells you to do. You don't have to do the doing. You don't have to bring it to pass. In fact, you can't bring it to pass. All you do is just keep on responding. And listen, whenever he finds you faithful and he says you're ready for the next phase, he'll open the door. He'll speak to you. He'll instruct you and say, okay, take another step. And boy, when he does, ooh, glory to God, you get in another realm of that phase of that plan. The glory of God's greater. Your anointing is greater. I mean, the blessing is greater. Everything's greater because it's all increasing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the things that we've got to understand regarding these directions and these vision and the vision God's given us is that we must steward it by our faith, like I was saying. Now, we got a few more minutes here, and let's just go ahead and say some things about how to get the right plan, how to get God's plan. God's plan is the right plan, right? The Bible says, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You'll have to depend on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to get the right plan. You know, your mom and dad might have not been, you know, maybe different situations in all of our lives, of course, but your mom and dad might not have been godly people. They might not have known God. And so they might have formulated a plan for your life. You know, you're going to be this. And they set that plan out. Well, if they weren't godly people, especially, that doesn't mean that was God's plan. Now, God can speak to Holy Spirit-filled parents that know the Spirit of God, and whose minds are renewed about their children's, the plan that God has for their children. Don't misunderstand me. And in fact, to be honest with you, I think parents ought to know some things. But yeah, right on the other hand, just natural-minded men who don't know God, they probably have a plan for your life. They'll say, well, you have an aptitude for this or that, you know. But really, they don't have God's plan. Only the Holy Spirit has God's plan. And guess what? He lives right on the inside of you. Your friends don't have a clue. Your coworkers, if you work a job here in town somewhere, they don't have a clue. They just see you as in the natural, you know. And so you're not going to find God's plan by talking to naturally minded people or looking at your natural abilities or taking an aptitude test. You're not going to find it by Googling it. You're not going to find it by all these things people do, you know. You're going to find it by getting in the Spirit. And that's what 1 Corinthians 2 talks about. It talks about verse number 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, we could stop there and think, well, we just don't know. We just don't know. You know how people are. Well, we just don't know God's ways. We don't know what he has planned. Well, let's keep on reading. But, oops, we better not say we don't know yet. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Has revealed what? These things that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. I personally believe that verse 9 is talking about the Old Testament saints. Their eyes didn't see and their ears didn't hear what God's plan, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. See, we've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. They didn't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. So God's revealed these things to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. The deep things of God. Verse number 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received the Holy Spirit so we can know these things. Isn't that what he's saying? The Holy Spirit's ministry in us is to bring us into the know. He wants us to know. I mean, the Bible said don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So how are you going to fulfill it if you don't know it? And how are you going to use your faith for it if you don't know what it is? So he's given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit so we can know. I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit. I don't know where I'd be without the Holy Spirit. So eyes not seen, but God's revealed them to us. We have the Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now we have received, verse 12, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man from the Bible is actually a man that's not born again. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. We're not natural men. I mean, part of us is natural, but we are spiritual. We're born of the Spirit, born from God. The natural man doesn't, but the Spirit, neither can he know them because they are foolish unto him. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually perceived, some translations say. But he that is spiritual judges or discerns, against the same word, all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned or known of no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But here's something you need to get. We have the mind of Christ. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. Now, I read that whole context because if you just read the last verse there, verse 16, out of its context, you would think he's saying we have the mind of Christ in our minds. Well, God does want us to have our mind to be renewed to his plan. Don't misunderstand me. But from the context here, where we have the mind of Christ is in our spirits. In other words, he said, we've not received the Spirit which is of the world, Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Well, where is the Holy Spirit? In your mind? No, he lives in your spirit. So he's in there to pass on to your spirit the mind of Christ. In other words, let's put it this way, what God has in mind. I like that. Do you like that? What God has in mind. What does he have in mind for my life? What does he have in mind? Does he want me to do this? Does he want me to go that direction? What's his plan? Well, you're going to have to dip down into your spirit. That's what he's saying. The mind of Christ is on the inside. The things here, First Corinthians 2, 9 there, where it said, the things which God has prepared for them that love him, that includes God's plan for your life. It wouldn't be limited to that, but it would include it. Wouldn't it? For the believer, the vision it simply means a revelation of the plans and purposes of God for our lives. Like we talked about, it's a divine power and ability to see what God's plan is. But it doesn't come to your natural eyes and your natural ears. In the Old Testament, they were natural people. They were not born of the Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They just were natural people in the Old Testament. They weren't born of the Spirit. So when he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the same's true today with your natural part of your being. You get that? Your natural mind or your natural eyes or your natural ears really cannot perceive what God's plan is. So whatever natural talents you have, that does not mean you know, that's the direction you're supposed to go. Now, God will use natural talent. Don't misunderstand me. And you could, if you don't hear... you have to understand that I'm not poo-pooing natural talent. I'm just simply saying you got to be careful not to let that pull you off of what the Spirit is saying that God's plan for your life is. You should use natural talent in line with God's plan, not to do your own plan. Amen. So, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. That's the physical eye and the physical ear. They don't receive the divine communication from heaven about this plan. The natural man, the natural eyes. Because the things of the Spirit here, he said, the natural man doesn't, notice that, verse number 11, no, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Spiritual things are totally outside of his realm of understanding. That's what he's talking about. And so what he's saying is, these things, including the revelation of God's plan for our lives and what he sees our life being and so forth, they don't come through sense knowledge. See, the eyes are the physical senses, the physical ears. These things are, he's talking about the physical body that gathers data through the five physical senses. The plan of God doesn't come to you that way. The things of the Spirit bypass the natural mind and intellect and go right into the spirit of man. Jesus said to Peter, because he said, "Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood's not revealed it unto you. My Father in heaven revealed it to you." Isn't that right? So this communication that Peter received bypassed flesh and blood communication. What does that mean? The flesh and blood, the way the flesh and blood gets knowledge is through the five physical senses. If you didn't have eyes, ears, taste, touch, what's the other one? Smell. If you didn't have those five physical senses, you would not be aware you're sitting in this room today. You wouldn't even be aware that this natural realm exists anymore. Isn't that right? Well, same thing's true with when you walk out the plan of God, your five physical senses don't have anything to do with it. When it comes to God showing you his plan, it doesn't come to the mind through the five physical senses. It comes to the spirit. What God has in mind for you comes to your spirit. Amen. So it's going to take fellowship with God in the spirit. Hallelujah. And we can do that. It's revelation knowledge that comes to our spirit that paints a picture on our heart by God of what his plan is for us. It will come and start creating an inner identity, an inner image of who we are in God. We know the in Christ reality show us that, but what about the specific plan for your life? The specific plan for your life. That is God's identity of how he sees you. And when God starts speaking by his spirit, or the Holy Spirit starts prompting you in certain directions, on the inside, it's like God takes a paintbrush and he makes another stroke, and you get a better picture of who he sees you to be. Oh, when you start seeing how he sees you, now you can walk in it. Hallelujah. And so God keeps making those brush strokes. As you keep walking with him, he keeps painting another stroke. Before you know it, you see the full plan. You get to the end of your life and you're saying, I'm in it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of today? I enjoyed this, to be honest with you. If you didn't, well, then go home and get right with God. Stand with me to your feet. Anything that you need to share, Dean Graves? Anything that I need to? Okay. All right. Tomorrow we'll see you again. You're dismissed. Have a good afternoon.